Hi, welcome back. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. So we're back here for Tech Days Online, and we're talking bots this afternoon. So please welcome, I'd like to welcome Robert Hogg and James Mann from Black Marble. Robert's actually an MVP with us, and we're going to talk, we've got three sessions, is that correct?
Three sessions this afternoon.
Wow, so lots of things around bots, you know, a hugely kind of popular subject at the moment. So we're going to learn about, you know, what they are, we're going to learn about the bot framework and lots of things around cognitive as well, I think. So over to you, Robert.
So yeah, we're going to be talking about how intelligence has actually evolved across the enterprise.
Sure, yep.
What makes an intelligent application, briefly. And there we go, an agenda. We'll be talking about bots. We're also going to be talking about the best practice of bots, because that's actually really important to actually understand writing a bot's okay, but what's going to make a good bot?
Sure.
A quick chat about what the bot framework is and how it's going to help you build bots. And then we're actually going to do a live coding demo and building a Hello World bot.
Sounds good.
So that should be quite jolly. Yep. And then following on from that, we've got two sessions following on from that. We've got one where we're going to be talking about adding natural language with the joys of Lewis. And then actually the final session is actually adding sentiment. Okay. And this is where things are going to get very interesting in bots. So we're not just talking about language and natural language response, we're also talking about sentiment and sentiment analysis.
Yep.
And we're going to be talking about how and why to use those and in what context.
Okay.
So the first question is, what actually makes an intelligent application? And this is, there's a bit of debate, but if we actually look at sort of, say, the natural evolution that we're actually used to.
Yep.
So we started with the command line interface, the joys of DOS many years ago, and Linux and all that sort of stuff. And again, we've got a nice green tinge to that to show we're hackers, which is quite nice. But a CLI is in fact incredibly powerful, because you can do, as a CLI, you can do anything at any point.
Yep.
But the problem is, if you don't know the intricacies of all the command line switches and everything else, you pretty much can't use the product at all.
Yeah.
And then we evolved into GUI, which we're all familiar with. But again, you've got to explore how to use that.
Yep.
And it's an exploratory kind of interface. And then we've moved on to NUI, natural user interfaces. And these are where you touch it and it will do. So everything's in context.
Okay.
Now this is really important when we're thinking about bots, because when we think about context, context is everything. And,
yep.
we'll work through how that works. But this gives us another step. How do you actually make a conversation an interface? And we've got a concept of conversation as a platform. It fits in close with the general principles of NUI, so it's evocative, it engages with the people who are using it, and it has that most important context. It knows who you are, or should know who you are, what you want to do, and it follows on. So if you talk to, if you say, asked about a date, the next time you talk about something, it will assume that date is in context.
Yep.
Or you're talking about a location, that location is now in context.
Okay. Yep.
And this is what makes conversation work. So the question then is, what is a bot? You can think of a bot as a sort of thing a human assistant would do. So go and get me some toast. Go and open the door. Go and, now obviously bots can't do that, but you could say, find out travel time.
So a task of some kind.
A task of any kind.
Yeah.
The user experience on bots is an interesting one, because a lot of people think it's going to be speech only, but a bot could be started from a standard GUI style interface.
Yeah.
A bot is something that's going to go and do this task. And the user experience can be anything from a standard GUI to a natural language interface, to in fact an interface through another bot. One of the keys though with bots is they should be able to learn.
Okay.
Because if you think about tasks, we can only program for a certain number of tasks. And when we're starting to talk about natural language interfaces, and we're not talking about accents in this case, but sort of colloquialisms where in the north of England, like what I am from, we have different ways of speaking than sort of the posh southern people down here. But bots need to be able to work that out. They need to be able to understand the meaning no matter where you're from. Now, I'm making light of this, But the learning aspect is the difference between a working bot and a non-working bot.
And I guess the user not getting frustrated by that.
And that's where the changes in the technology of bots really make sense.
Sure.
And then there's the question of why now? If you think about the kind of things we're talking about in bots, where you need to have natural language processing, you need to have understanding of context. Because of technology such as Azure, we've got commodity pricing of AI, CPU time. We're then actually able to consume large amounts of data in volume in parallel, because it might be we've written a bot for a large sporting event, and everyone will be trying to talk to the bot exactly at the same time. You might have 40 or 50, 100,000 people in parallel.
The ability to scale out there.
And the scale out is absolutely necessary. Mm. And then there's the ones which are sort of slightly controversial, where a lot of people are used to having an app for everything.
Yeah.
Whereas one of the things with bots is we could actually attach bots into the standard interfaces you're used to now, such as Skype or Facebook or websites. So you're not having another app on your phone, another app on your device.
Okay.
You could have 20 or 30 bots connected through Skype, and you could use them as you need.
So those conversational platforms that users are already in, put the bots in there.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah.
And that appeal of this user interface of using conversation, for a large proportion of users, is much more natural and appealing. So with app fatigue and all of the others, we're actually in a it's almost like the perfect storm.
Okay.
And bots have got that. So let's actually think of an example. We actually do some work in policing, and say, for example, we're out on the beat and we've picked up a couple of people we'd like to have a chat with in slightly more detail in a police station. We've got to do several things. We might not know where we are. And so, again, we talk about context. The bot maybe will know exactly where we are.
Yep.
So we actually want to ask, I want to book an interview room, and I have so many people. But I might just say, I want an interview room. The bot will work out where you are and say, well, actually, I've got interview rooms in two or three stations. In, you know, station A might be closer, but there's bad traffic, because the bot can look up the traffic for you. It can work out the room availability.
Mm-hmm.
And then it might say, well, actually, how many people are you going to be bringing in? Actually, we're going to be in eight. Well, actually, we need two large rooms for that.
Yeah.
So, in fact, you've got to go to station C, not station B.
So it's kind of handling these kind of multiple tasks and bringing it all together for you in one point.
But there's a really key thing here with bots.
Right.
It's doing a simple task very well.
Yeah. That is an important point, I think.
And people do confuse things bots can do, and we'll cover this in a second.
Yeah.
Lots of different things.
But it's doing several simple tasks.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's another thing that's actually layered in here, which is very important as well. When we were talking about it's looking up the travel time, it's looking up the location, it's actually performing a set of tasks as a process, which we'll cover off in a little while.
Okay.
And that process is important to how bots actually work as well.
Okay. Yeah, makes sense.
Okay, excellent. So what is a bot not? I don't think I could have thought of a more awkward title.
Interesting title.
They're not just chatbots. People are thinking of them in chatbots. As it turns out, the examples we're going to talk about today, we'll be looking at as...
There are a lot of examples out there, chatbot. But you're right, it's not just...
But if you actually look at the police example, you might actually find there were several bots involved, but only one bot acting as the front end to the user, federating out to several other bots.
Okay, so acting as a kind of broker to the others, yeah.
Exactly the same way that Skype is effectively a broker for the bot, or you could use other products that you deem like Facebook and that sort of thing. There's the front end broker, and then you can have brokers down the chain.
Okay.
And we'll talk about why that's powerful in a second. And then the other thing is, a bot is not a general tool. This is really, really critical to understanding bots. It's a very focused, well-done application.
Yeah.
It might be a bot to do an insurance quote. It might be a bot to do, and understand how to do that insurance quote, all of the ins and outs of whether you have to have your cat insured for falling down the drain or whatever that's going to be. But all of the aspects of that, but it won't be able to do anything else.
I think in that way, the user knows where they are with the bot. They know that it's here for the task. I know how I can, it will help me with that task. But as you say, the more general you get that, then the more difficult it becomes, well, for the developer to support it and actually for the user to understand it.
There is a a concern, and it's something we were starting to see, that some developers will gild the lily, as it were, gold plate a bot, so it does lots of clever things.
Yeah.
Just focus. Focus really deeply and do one thing.
I think that's good advice.
So there's a prediction which I think is going to come true probably within the next year, when we're actually talking about, almost in the similar way to how neural networks have worked in the past. A simple neural isn't that right, it doesn't do very much. But when you connect them together in the right structure, the sum of the parts is much greater.
It's like a mesh of bots.
Exactly. And I think as you sort of start to use bots, and bots understand, so you might actually find a bot knows where you are and your travel patterns, and another bot knows what you like to eat. Yep. When you say, I'm hungry, the combination of those two bots can actually give you more information.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
But that's a prediction, it's not proved out yet, so that's just a...
No, you know, we're really at the start of the whole bot journey, and we're kind of learning and understanding, and I kind of liken it to like the start of when apps, building out apps and even building out websites, you know, but I think it's going to evolve at a much faster rate, is my feeling.
Yes, and it's going to be a very interesting journey.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of best practices we want to sort of drill in fairly early when you're thinking about bots. You can build a very blunt, and we've got an example a bit later on, a very blunt bot that isn't that engaging.
Yeah.
And it depends on who you're targeting as well. Some people like bluntness. But in general, just make a very engaging welcome message, and it will help somebody engage with the bot.
Yeah.
I think...
I would add to that actually, and sorry, I'm not sure if you're going to tell it, I don't think you are, but I'd add to that actually perhaps explain to the user what that bot's going to do, give them a couple of sample messages.
Yep.
It's just a thought. You know.
Actually, the one that we were commenting earlier is, and we'll show you it in a second, actually say, and if you get stuck, just type help.
Exactly, so it's a kind of fallback in case somebody gets, perfect.
And I'm jumping around in a second, but the one that's really important to me is, be nice to the user and do the right thing. That's a really strange statement, but developers, and I am a developer and I love developers, absolutely. Developers can try to be too clever sometimes, and you want to be just to the point and actually get the user what they need, when they need it, and do no more.
Mm-hmm.
The user needs to be in complete control, or they need to have the feeling that they're in control, so they engage, and don't bombard the user with too much information.
Yeah.
And with all of those, you're going to do well. When you start talking about adding emotion and variety, I have seen people try to emulate a person, and that's not necessarily where you want to be going.
Well, there's that question, isn't there? You know, do you make it apparent to the user that they're talking to a bot, or do you try to hide and say, actually, you know, pretend that you're talking to a human? It's kind of a fine line, isn't it?
I don't think there's a right answer.
Okay.
And I've said in general, I'd be honest and say, this is an automated service.
Okay.
But you're starting to see people engage with them as if they were people. So adding that spark so people are comfortable.
Yeah.
And again, it depends on the the demographic you're targeting. If it's an older generation, the chances are they'd be more comfortable thinking it was a person.
Okay.
So I don't think you should lie, but the more friendly you make it, the more engaging, there's a higher chance that the different generations, and again, you tend to only think about your own experiences, and this is going to generate a whole set of interesting best practices on user experience and conversation.
Yeah.
And I think there's going to be lots of information that coming out over about the next 12 months on best practice, and I think there's going to end up being two or three best practices which you should follow.
Okay, that's good.
So let's have maybe a quick chat about a couple of usage scenarios, and actually we can walk through these and get some good examples of what we've just been talking about. So this is actually one I particularly like, which is the Sky Scanner bot. If you hopefully you can see at the top, it gives a nice introduction to what it's trying to do. It also says, would you like help? And then maybe we're going to start booking a flight, but look what actually happens when we book a flight. It's got a question, and it's actually following up with a set of options for you to follow.
Okay, yeah.
And we'll be covering this when we talk about dialogues and form flow a bit later.
But you're starting to bring in some multimedia assets into that, aren't you? Some images and your buttons and things. So, okay, different ways of interacting with it. Okay.
And the nice thing there is it's got a very slick feel, and it's working well. And that's a good interaction.
Sure, okay.
So this is the Butty Bot at Black Marble, so you can order your butties.
Great name.
You need your butties. It's very important.
That's absolutely critical.
Depressing when, what was the first thing that people thought about when developing bots in Black Marble? Their stomachs.
Well, it's an important task, you know, and as you said, you know, it's got a task, and then you should build a bot for it.
That's right. That's right.
Has it been successful?
Yes.
Well, there you go. Okay.
So the key here is if you actually look at the interface, you're being asked questions. Now, here's what's really important. If I'd asked for, I want a bacon butty with brown sauce,
yeah,
it would have just said, fine, ordered. Mm-hmm. But because I didn't give it all the information, it's finding out for me through an exploratory manner to try and find out the bits of information that I was missing.
So it's guiding you on that journey,
that's
isn't
right.
it? Yeah.
If I know what I'm doing, I get the answer straight away. And if I don't, it helps me get there. That's
okay.
What's really
that's
important.
That's nice. Yeah, absolutely.
And this is an example from StubHub, where they're, you know, you want to book tickets and that sort of thing.
Yep.
Now, interestingly, this is clearly a V1, but it's a basic implementation,
sure.
And it does what it says on the tin. But I'd have hoped it would guide me a bit more. So it's a what do you want sort of, and it's a very abrupt sort of interface.
Okay, okay.
But
straight to the point, but actually.
But you'd have hoped sort of in the case of selling tickets for venues, that sort of thing, it would know a bit more about you. So maybe you like R&B or jazz or whatever it's going to be,
yeah.
And say, I want to go to something interesting. Well, do you know what? And the bot would then be able to maybe suggest things which would actually...
Ah, so you're bringing proactive suggestions.
That's right.
Okay.
And
yeah,
so I think there's a trick missing in this one. It's
yeah.
You go in and I want to book this event at this time. Mm. Whereas the interface, and it might do, I haven't investigated in depth, but there's an option there to actually do some much more engaging style of interfaces
okay.
in that sort of bot.
Yep.
And then the last one is sort of Foursquare, we can check in and sort of do all that sort of kind of thing, which is, I noticed the time, so I shall skip on
yes.
briefly
okay.
for a second. So how are we actually going to do this? I've written agents in the past, years ago, and there was a lot of work in building an agent where it's going to be hosted and a lot of code to be generated. Luckily, surprisingly for this talk, Microsoft's actually built a framework to making building bots incredibly easy.
Yep.
I'll give you an example. During this talk, we'll build a bot.
Fantastic.
It's a framework to actually allow you to run the bots, and the bot can run autonomously. I really need new teeth. but also allows you to integrate with sort of cognitive services. We'll talk about those
right,
in a few minutes.
Yeah.
And natural language. But the important thing is, you don't need to have natural language. We can actually do a lot without.
Okay. I think that is an important point. Because it's kind of naturally seeing chatbots equals natural language.
And that's what we were saying earlier. It's not necessarily just a chatbot.
Sure.
And we've also got the ability to actually effectively add a store for bots.
Okay.
So we've actually got a registration place that users can find them. And we can also plug into different channels. And this is one of the genuinely lovely things about the bot framework. There's a whole pile of different channels we could just plug into, and we'll show you those in a second or two.
Wonderful.
So we've got a bot builder, basically the tooling to allow us to build the bot. A developer portal to allow information you need, register, that's the thing. We'll show you how to use all of that.
Great.
And then, as we said, a bot directory, effectively a store for bots.
Okay.
So one of the things we're interested in, I think there's and it's something we're talking about a lot, is people think about bots as in public Skype being used for things like StubHub and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think an enterprise is like the police example, where you can actually automate those kind of processes.
Absolutely. I think you're absolutely right. There's a lot of business-to-business or internal applications
yeah.
where you can hook into your back-end and use conversational interfaces to pull that data out.
And so I think the bot directories, I think the number of users who necessarily add direct from a bot directory, whereas I think in an organization it'll be provided in their standard interfaces through Skype
sure,
and everything else.
Sure, and in a web interface or whatever, or
that's
an
right.
application. Yeah.
So I think for most end users, they would not use a bot directory as a standard
sure.
thing. That's just a commentary there.
No, that's a fair point.
So let's actually move on to a demo.
Fantastic.
Okay, over to James then.
Yep. Okay, so just bear with me while I switch over.
Do.
Yeah.
Okay, so just flicking over to Visual Studio.
Yeah.
Oh, are you going to show?
Start this section.
Yeah, yeah.
So this demo really is taking us from zero to, you know, to having a bot developed and published into Azure that we can, you know, expose to users, and they can begin to use it through. In this case, we're going to show Skype.
Okay.
But we'll see
so
how
you're actually going to show publish to Skype.
We'll see the whole thing. So we'll start from, you know, not having the tooling installed on the computer to downloading the tooling, developing, and then publishing it out.
Okay.
Okay. So before we get started, there's a few things that we kind of need to be aware of. There's two flavors we can of the bot framework we can use. There's a .NET SDK, and there's a Node.js SDK as well. I'm going to be demonstrating the .NET SDK just because that's kind of what we do at Black Marble.
Sure, sure.
But all these things that we're going to see.
So all the principles we're talking about, and actually you could do it in Node.js.
Exactly. So that's kind of the takeaway for that.
Because so like there are other cloud service providers other than Azure.
Yes.
But
not that you don't use it. No.
So before we crack on, I'm just going to kind of make you aware that everything we do today is going to be on this GitHub page. There'll be a link to this in the at the end of the slides, just so you can back reference it.
Okay, and you can go back and check through it yourself.
Yeah, so
speed. Oh, that's good.
I mean, we do have quite a lot of demos in these three sessions. So if for any reason we run out of time,
sure,
you can always kind of come back in here. There's all this code you need to get up and running. There's Lewis models that we'll see later. We haven't talked about Lewis yet, but you'll be able to come in and download those as well.
Okay.
Okay, so we're starting with session one. So the kind of two prerequisites in terms of tooling that you need. We talked about Visual Studio. The bot framework has a Visual Studio project template that you can download.
Yeah.
So I'm going to download that now. I've got a link here that I'm just going to, you know, quickly click on, and that's just going to download to my.
You mentioned Visual Studio, but of course, if you're on a Mac and you want to use VS Code, for example,
absolutely.
Visual Studio code and, you know, code with Node.js.
You can use whatever tooling you want, and I think that's kind of a key thing about the bot framework.
Yeah.
It's very open, not just in the tooling that you can use, but also in, you know, the way you can host it and and consume it over the
different
channels.
It's a framework, isn't it? So it's a set of parts that you can use.
That's right. So all I need to do is grab this zip file, and I need to copy that into my Visual Studio.
Here you're installing the Visual Studio template, are you?
That's right. Yeah. So I'm literally just going to copy it into my templates folder.
Okay.
Again, we don't expect you to remember where this goes. All this information will be in the...
I think it's documented as well on the site, isn't it?
It is.
dev.botframework.com.
But if you don't pay attention and see it done, people miss it.
I absolutely
top
agree.
Tip.
Oh, yeah. No. It's much easier to watch somebody going through it.
Okay, so I've copied that into my Visual C# templates now. So the other thing that I need to download to get up and running is the bot emulator. Now, I've already installed this, but again, the first time you visit this website, you'll have an option. If you just zoom in there, you'll have an option to install. So you just click that, and it'll literally just pull it down to your computer. And then you've got it running, and you know, if you need to update it in future, it should automatically take care of updating for you.
Okay.
So now we've got our prerequisites on, so we can actually get started.
Great.
You know, creating
didn't
our
seem
bot.
Too bad, really, didn't it?
Not bad at all.
No,
really. It's
no.
Just kind of being aware that these things are there. Really.
So the actual SDK is it's in GitHub. It's open source.
It's completely open source. Yeah. I'm going to use the template with the DLLs that come with the template.
Yeah.
But if you want to, you know, if the bot framework doesn't actually do something that you need, you can even extend the bot framework to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to start Visual Studio up. So once Visual Studio is loaded, we'll have a new project template for us. It's pre-selected because I've already run this, but if you were to install it for the first time, you literally just search for bot in this window here.
And it
is. And it appears there for you.
Okay.
So I'm just going to give it a name, so I'm going to call it Tech Days bot, in fact, Tech Days bot demo 1. Okay, so that's going to go off and it's going to set up a project.
Yeah.
It's going to set up all the dependencies that it needs to provide the infrastructure for our bot implementation. So this is the thing that does, this does our business logic,
exactly.
If you like.
Yeah. It's effectively an ASP.NET.
It is,
isn't it?
So, exactly, right. So if you as Simon says, if you've ever seen ASP.NET before, MVC, this should look very familiar to you. You've got a website, and inside there you've got controllers. So let's have a look at there so you can see. So you can see it's already generated this endpoint for us. So apologies, it's a little bit hard to see this, but you can see we've got a HTTP post endpoint here. So there we go. And inside that post endpoint, we have this activity. And that's something that the bot framework uses to transfer messages.
Okay.
Because over the wire, we're just basically talking about JSON messages.
And we'll be talking about the messages in the next
session. Yeah, I mean, this really is just to give you kind of introduction to the tooling.
Yeah.
We're not really focusing on
we'll dig deeper.
Implementation.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
That's right.
This is useful.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, just to illustrate, the kinds of things you can see in the activity, this is, we have some things like, let me zoom in there, we have the text of the message, so what the user's saying to the bot.
Yeah.
We have the type, so whether it's a, whether it is a message or whether it's a, whether it's a system message, there's different types of messages that we can handle.
Okay.
There's all kinds of information there. I won't go through them all, but you can see for yourself. What I'm going to do is actually I'm going to talk through this code as we're running, so you can kind of understand, what's going on in terms of the bot framework. So before I'm able to run it, I just need to provide a little bit of configuration. I said there was no code changes required for this demo, and that's true, but we do need to configure our bot, obviously, because it needs to be, it needs to be registered somewhere.
Okay.
So the way we do that is we register our bot in the bot framework portal, which Robert talked about earlier. So this is a web portal. It's publicly accessible. It is in preview at the moment.
Yep.
As is the whole bot framework.
I think we announced that back in at the Build conference.
Yep.
Back in April. March, April. I lose track of time.
Yeah, it was earlier in the year. And to be fair, we've been using it for however many months that is, and we're not seeing any problems with availability or anything like that. But it is good to know that it is in preview. So I just need to sign in to the bot framework.
Pass at word one.
There you go, pass that word one. So now I'm in. So if you're watching this at home, you can register yourself on this. It's really quick and easy to do. And then once I'm in here, I just click on this link at the top, register a bot. So I'm going to provide some information about, what our bot is, what it does when it's finally exposed to the audience, what they need to be able to understand, what function it's going to fulfill. So this is kind of my opportunity.
So some of this information would appear in that bot directory?
That's right.
Yeah,
so things
right,
like
okay,
description.
Okay.
You see a block of text.
It populates straight from this.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And another one is the icon. So we can give our bot an icon.
You've got one prepared there, haven't you?
Just by chance, I've got a pre-prepared icon there.
A black marble bot.
by defining this at this level, whenever we expose our bot across the different channels, it will take on the icon. So it's quite, by using the bot framework, we can get, quite a lot of reuse from configuration.
That makes sense.
And I'd actually say, more importantly, for a lot of organizations, exposure, because of course, people don't actually invest a lot of money in icons, we do.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference it makes to your brand and that sort of thing is quite large.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, as we were saying earlier, I don't think anybody around this table can draw a straight line with a ruler without help from the designer.
No. Looking at the presentation, we were putting them together. Yeah. Till your artist did their magic on them.
Yes.
Okay, so you guys watching at home, hopefully you can see this. So we give the bot a name. This is kind of like the system name of the bot. Okay. So this needs to be unique. So I'm hoping no one's done a Tech Days bot demo one before. If they have, I'll have to.
So is that public? Will that be? That won't be public. Or will be
the system name will be public.
That will be public,
yep.
Okay.
That's what will appear in the bot appear. Directory. Right. The next one is the bot handle. Now, this is the thing that appears, you know, if you had a Skype channel, for example, this is a thing that
you'd see
the name of
there.
It.
Right,
exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
So like Mrs. Miggins or something.
Yeah.
And then finally, we've got this. Sorry.
No, of course.
Finally, we've got a description. So, you know, obviously you put in a better quality description than that.
But I'm just
quickly doing this for a demo. So we need to provide a messaging endpoint. So if we kind of jump forward to when we've got this deployed into Azure or the hosting environment of your choice, the bot needs to be hosted somewhere and it needs to be publicly accessible. So I'm going to type in the ultimate endpoint. It's in Azure, so it's azurewebsites.net/API/messages. Okay, so the
What is the API messages there for?
I'm glad you asked that question. So Simon just asked, what does this bit pay me? So if we go into the code, so the controller, this endpoint that we're exposing has, that is basically the endpoint of that HTTP service. So it's API/messages. You can use another one. You can use a different one.
Okay.
Let's say, you know, for us, we had ButtyBot API/ButtyBot, for example.
Right, okay.
This is kind of the default, so that's kind of the convention that's being applied by default.
Sure.
Okay, so that website doesn't exist yet, but that's okay. We'll configure that later. So the next thing we need to do is we need to define an app ID. So the app ID kind of identifies the bot application.
Okay.
So there's two parts to this. There's an ID, which is this value you can see here. And then there's also a password that we need to generate.
And where are you registering this?
So by...
When you're actually in the portal,
hit the button. So you can hit the button, it takes you straight there. Okay.
It does. There's a wizard to kind of take care of this.
Okay.
I think V1 of the bot framework didn't do this.
Okay.
Because I have a memory of it being a lot more difficult.
Well, I think
than
we
V1.
Updated it about June 10, wasn't it? I think it was June 10.
It's idiot proof. You know, I'm using it, so.
I can use it. That's how idiot proof it is.
So what I would say is the values here, I'm just going to make a note of these, and I'm just going to paste them into Notepad, just so I've got them for future reference. And I'll explain why in a moment. But the key one is this: when we generate the password, this is the thing that's the bot application is using to prove that it is, you know, it's that registration.
Okay.
Okay. So we need the ID and the password. Top tip is to make a copy of this password, store it somewhere secure. Because as soon as I click OK,
gone forever.
It's gone forever.
Yeah.
Now it's not really gone forever. I can generate a new password, but you know, it's just, you know,
so save it off. It's a good tip.
It is, yeah. So I'm just going to put that in there. So I've got all those values. I'm going to click Finish and go back to Bot Framework. That's going to take me back to the page I was at previously.
Well, does it actually paste the password in for you?
Yes.
Sends that back.
Yes.
So you need it for later, but you don't.
You do. That's right. So you don't need it for this part, but you do need it for the code bit, which I'll show you in a moment.
Okay.
Okay, and then I'm going to type in some publisher information. So this is just really about, you know, who's created the bot.
Sure.
You know, providing some information if the user needs to, for example, have a look at the privacy statement.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
In terms of use or the website, maybe there's some usage information or something.
Kind of information you put in if you're developing an app or whatever. Anyway.
Exactly. We're just making this up, I'm going to put our Black Marble website in here. And then you can specify some things like hashtags, and those are the kinds of things that the bot's going to respond to.
Okay.
You can also define a language by which it can communicate.
Right, so you default language.
It's English, but you can, you know, if you want it to be multilingual, you know, looking at some of the text analytics services that you can make use of. The bot framework supports that, so
okay.
This is kind of the place you configure it. Okay, and then finally, we can link this to Azure App Insight. So if you've got a website in Azure, you might have come across App Insights before. It's basically an operational monitoring, application monitoring suite.
Okay.
And Bot Framework will plug straight into that. So if you add your App Insights key to that, it will automatically configure it, and you'll get a level of diagnostics and logging out of the box.
I think there's something really important to say here. I thought using App Insights was easy in Visual Studio. This is like a level easy. You hit the button and it just does it.
That's right.
It gives you kind of service level, how long your bot's taking to respond, that
exactly.
kind of stuff.
Yeah. And the key thing with that is you can, App Insights is like a layered platform, isn't it? So you get this kind of core level of service information, but you can also put application level information as well, maybe tracing, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So it's quite a nice thing to be aware of.
So you can start adding that telemetry to understand what your user's typing, for example.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So I'm not going to do that time constraints and everything, but I'm going to just go ahead and register. So that's it. That's created the bot. So now that's available in by me. It's available to me. It's not publicly available yet, but it's available to me to start testing. So you can see on this page, we have some, we have the information that we've just configured about the bot here.
Yep.
We have the capability to test the bot, which we'll show you how to use in a minute. Then we have these channels that have been added by default. So we've got Skype already configured.
Yep.
Really handy for testing. And the web chat as well, which is it's almost like a controller you can embed in a web page and just get a bot.
Okay, up and running your existing website. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah, if you've got a corporate website and you just want to, create a bot that'll engage with your users, you can use the web chat component.
Okay.
And it does all the work for you. So I'm going to step back to Visual Studio now because we need to configure the application that we created to point to our registration effectively.
Okay.
So I'm going to grab these details here. So we go into the web config, and there's three values here. It's quite helpful. It tells you to update these with the bot ID and so on. So if you've never done this before, you'd figure out pretty quickly what you need to do.
Yeah.
I'm just going to copy the app ID in there as well. And then the password. So that kind of, those two pieces, the ID and the password, are the two things, the bot application that we're developing at the moment, those are the two things it needs to identify itself and kind of prove it's the owner of the implementation.
Okay, right.
Okay? So that's it. That's, no code changes required. It's good
that's
to go.
That's the configuration done on that.
So I'm literally just going to press F5 now. I'm just going to run it.
Okay.
So it's going to build it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to host it locally. You can use...
So it's launching that local host.
Yep, local host.
Yeah.
So I want to be able to test this, right?
So this page here you could use as to describe your bot to people, and then they could use your bot within that.
Exactly. This is kind of the bot application endpoint.
Yeah.
But you can use this to provide like a jumping off point from your bot application.
Okay.
Okay. So we need to test this, right?
Yep.
I'm not quite ready to publish it out and use Azure and use Skype.
Okay, yeah.
So I want to use a local development tool to do that.
Locally, yeah.
So I'm going to use the bot emulator, which I downloaded at the start of this. And I'm going to start this up, and the very first time you start this, you'll see what we see here. Okay, so at the top you've got a bot URL, and that's your API endpoint that we've just developed.
Yeah, with the port as well.
Then we've got a space for an app ID.
Yeah.
And then we've got a space for the app password as well.
Sure.
So we need to fill those three things in. Now, because I've used the default settings for here, I don't actually need to change this. But if you were hosting it on a different port.
Yeah, just need to make sure they tie up, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the other two bits are the bits that I filled in the portal. So hopefully this...
So that app ID.
Is that one? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the password. Now, you wouldn't normally need to do this when you configure a channel, but because the bot framework connector takes care of all this for you, but because we're emulating a channel with the emulator, we need to provide that level of connectivity.
Just for reference, the channels, when we talk about channels, we haven't covered this yet, we're talking about things like Skype and Facebook and that sort of thing.
We'll cover that off in more detail in the next session, but yeah, good point. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I can just literally just send a message to it, and hello from TechDiz.
What were you expecting to happen on this one?
Well, Let's see. Hopefully, we'll get a response.
So this is the code straight out of the box.
Yep, straight out of the box. And you sent hello from TechDiz, which was 19 characters. Now, admittedly, it's not the best demo in the world, but you know, it's the point is really look how quick and easy it was to get this up and running.
Yeah, you've used Visual Studio. You've got a bot up and running. You're testing it within an emulator. You've registered it. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
And it's working.
It's working.
What, 15, 20 minutes.
And the key thing is, you can take this now, and you can. You know, provide your own implementation. You can. We'll talk later about things like Lewis and you know other cognitive services
Start
that you can
it out,
use to build smarts into your bot. So,
but this is a built running framework application. You've just got to now add code.
Exactly. Yeah.
Just add code. That should be a phrase.
Okay. So, what I'm going to do again? I'm going to run the same demo, but I'm just going to demonstrate the Visual Studio. Debugging experience, just so you can get a little bit of confidence for those people that are watching it. That is, you know, if you've ever done a Webbit application before, it's exactly the same.
Sure.
You know, there's nothing new here. It's using existing technology, but it's providing like a unified experience for doing that.
Yep.
So quickly, I'll just type in a message, and that comes into my Web API endpoint. I can have a look at my activity. Oops. And you know, I can see. You know, a bunch of information about the bot.
So again, I think in the second session we're going to dig a little bit deeper into some of this, the messaging.
Yes, that's right.
The format of the messaging, etc. But yeah, you can quickly see how easy it is to debug it in Visual Studio. There.
Structured class with everything you'd expect, and we'll cover what some of those message contents are in the next segment.
Yeah, and the key thing is, you know, it's there. It's created it for you, and it's kind of giving you a point where you can take it and
absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so I think that pretty much wraps up the first demo. Hopefully, it was quite a compelling development story.
Fantastic demo. Thank you.
Good.
No, that's awesome. So let's just jump back to the slides. I think we've got a couple more slides to cover off. That's a great demo. So summary of what we've done. Go on, you can do
there
a summary.
There we go. Fundamental concepts of bots we've covered.
Yeah.
I think we've covered off why a lot of the why of bots, when you're going to use it, how you're going to use it. We've actually shown you how to build a Hello World.
Yeah.
Now, it actually sort of, it was a more like an echo bot. So we actually echoed back with a bit of information.
Yeah. Mm.
But the fact that you could actually build a bot, deploy it and configure it, again, what, 20 minutes end to end?
Yeah.
And if you wouldn't, and that was talking through what you were doing
exactly.
as well.
Yeah.
And then the thing now, as I said, is we just have to add code to actually implement what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
So, but there's several things we want to look at. One is adding the code, and then actually adding intelligence.
Yeah, it's making it a bit smarter. Absolutely.
And then the follow-on from that is then adding natural language and cognitive services to actually add smarts as well.
Yeah.
And then the final segment, what we're going to be doing is talking about actually sentiment and sentiment analysis.
Okay.
And that's where you actually start to figure out if the user's unhappy, you can make certain choices.
Sure. Okay. Perfect. Okay. So I think we've got have a 15-minute break, and then I think we'll be back
to
cover that off. And I think, so James, you've got a couple more demos.
I do.
In the next session.
So we've got a demo of Lewis in the next session.
Yeah.
Just to kind of give you a flavor of what that, you know, what it looks like as a standalone service.
Yeah.
And then in the final session, we've got two demos, quite interesting demos, of adding intelligence into your bot.
So Lewis is the concept of actually language understanding as a service.
Right, okay, yeah. So that's when that's part of our cognitive APIs again, which we'll cover off.
And it was this is one of the things that's making bots really interesting. We've actually got these effectively deep AI services delivered as a commodity product.
Yeah.
And this is what makes bots work.
Which is part of the reason you were covering off earlier that why bots are becoming so popular. Why now? Exactly. Yeah. Part of that. And I think also thinking around that, you know, just the amount of data that we've got now, you know, and the amount of devices are collecting data. The need to understand that data and to analyze patterns in that data. I think, again, it's a great way. You talked about it earlier in some of the enterprise and some of the internal business scenarios where actually using that conversational interface to pull out some patterns, understand some data, I think is an absolute key point.
And it's going to make a big change.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. Well, that's great. Okay, so as I say, we've got, I think, a fantastic session by James and Robert. We've got a 15-minute break. There's just final thing on the resources there, what we've talked about. If you go to dev.botframework.com, then you will be able to see the directory and the channel, and you'll be able to see how to download that SDK. There's some samples there as well.
Yeah, full tutorials, the whole nine yards.
Okay,
can I just add the GitHub page as well, because I've realised I haven't actually added that to the...
It'll be on the next slide.
All right, see you in 15 minutes. Thank you.